Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today pre-market podcast. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Friday, the 5th of April, and a very wet Friday, certainly in Sydney anyway. And as usual, with all the information contained in this podcast, it is general advice only. So please do your own research, contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas or insights, if any, in this podcast. All right. Well, if you're listening to this podcast for free, we'd love to have you on board as part of the Marcus Today community. You can sign up for a two-week free trial at marcustoday.com.au. We'd love to have you on board. As I say, we have a fantastic Facebook discussion group exclusive to members, exclusive members podcast as opposed to these free podcasts. We also have, of course, the wonderful newsletter with lots of money-making ideas, both macro and on stock-specific stuff, helping you to build, maintain and create wealth. So love to have you on board. Anyway, that's enough from me in terms of the advert for today. And last night, the scores on the doors were not pretty doors and not pretty scores, I'm afraid. We did see Fed heads out and about last night, six of the Fed heads out and about last night. But the real damage was done, I guess, from Neil Kashkari, who had some words to say regarding the likely path of interest rate cuts in the US. This is what he had to say. If we continue to see inflation moving sideways, then that would make me question whether we needed to do those rate cuts at all. So once again, the cat amongst the pigeons as far as rate cuts go. And remember, yesterday I wrote in my article in Henry's Take, Mary Daly, she pointed out, very, very pointed out, that the dot plots are a projection, not a promise. And this did upset the apple cart. Certainly, the US at the moment in no hurry to cut rates at all. And as a result of that glaringly obvious statement from Kashkari, and the fact that it is data dependent and the Fed is in no hurry, and in fact, cutting rates in a very strong US economy would actually strengthen the economy. And given where oil is at the moment and various other commodities, there is certainly a little bit of inflation building up in the system. Jobs numbers, of course, tonight, 200,000 is the magic number. All right, though, as far as the scores on the doors go, in the last hour, the Dow fell like a rock. The Dow Jones closing down 530 points, 1.35%. It was a correction waiting for an excuse, and Kashkari gave them that excuse. 38,597 is the Dow. It had a high of 294 points up, and a low of 568 points down. That is a big trading range, the biggest we have seen for some time. The Nasdaq falling 1.4%, 228 points, 16,049. And the S&P 500, no middle for diddle, actually outperformed in some respects, down 1.23%, 64 points, 51.47. The Russell 2000 beat them all. If a 1.1% fall is beating anything, down 22 points at 2,054. And the VIX Volatility Index was up 14.1%. Volatility and complacency, to some extent, had been quite low, given the risks that are out there. And certainly we are seeing growing geopolitical risks in the Middle East and Ukraine as well. And, of course, the political scene in the US is hardly stable at the moment. So finally, that VIX Volatility Index found some buyers, 16.35 now. Still not exactly hugely elevated, but certainly people taking out some insurance against some of these big moves. Our own SPY futures sold off 63 points or 0.8%. Yesterday, we had a 35-point gain. Hardly a stellar day, given that we fell over 100 points the day before, but we could take anything yesterday. Resources and banks pretty much equally weighted in some respects, but resources held back by BHP, Rio and Fortescue, which were suffering on the iron ore price. Now, of course, yesterday, China and Hong Kong were closed for a holiday, so we didn't get an update on iron ore pricing there yesterday or overnight. So at the moment, iron ore is still below 100 bucks, which is where it closed the previous session. But no end in sight, it seems, for the sell-off today. and we'll see how low we can go. As far as European markets go, well, they saw the best of the Dow, so they're in for a little bit of a treat when it reopens this afternoon. Stock 600 up 0.2%, FTSE up 0.5%, Germany up 0.2%. As I say, China and Hong Kong closed yesterday. Japan managed a near 1% gain. As far as US bonds go, well, with all that action, all that talk from the Fed heads, there were six of them last night out and about talking, six of them. There must be a collective noun for Fed heads. The US 10-year was only modestly lower, 4.2 basis points lower on the yield, 4.307. US 2-year, 4.645, down 2.7 basis points. And the Aussie 10-year, 4.117. So yields down, equity markets down as well on the back of that bond market rally. So that was interesting. As far as US stocks go, Nvidia down 3.4%. AMD got walloped, down 8.3%. Netflix down 2.1%. Meta up 0.8%. Tesla up 1.6%. Amazonians down 1.3%. Alphabetti Spaghetti down 2.8%. Microsoft down 0.6%. Apple down 0.5%. US banks eased. Goldman's down 1.9%. Morgan Stanley down 0.8%. Bank of America down 1.4%. So looking like we will get some easing in our own banks. CBA overseas was down 0.4%. SQM, which is Block, the artist formerly known as Afterpay in some respects, had a mighty old night last night, down 6.2%. ResMed down 0.6%. In Europe, the banks there were better, but as I say, Europe saw the best of the Dow as opposed to the worst of the Dow. Now, as far as the US market goes, that was the fourth straight losing session for the Dow. Its worst day since March 2023 as well. So not a good look there. Crude oil jumping as well last night. A lot happening in the Middle East. That's certainly helping the oil price push higher. We did get lots of Fed heads out and about last night, as I said. Kashkari really doing the damage. We got the non-farm payrolls report due tomorrow in the US, so Saturday morning our time. The consensus expectation is for 200,000 rise in payrolls, an unemployment rate of 3.8%. 3.8%, so that is the number to look at. Now, of course, with all these Fed heads out and about, Neil Kashkari being the most prominent, you have to remember that Neil Kashkari is not actually a voter on the Federal Open Market Committee. So there you go. He may be able to talk, but he can't vote. The Richmond Federal Reserve President Thomas Barkin also out and about, saying that there was the economy, strong economy, gives time to watch the inflation data for progress. The Fed knows how to respond if it does, and if the economy slows, the Fed has enough firepower to support it. He also noted that inflation data this year had been a little less encouraging. So they're all out and about. The Fed is in no hurry. That is the key take from all of this. All right, switching across to resources and commodities, we had that Brent crude price up above $90. That seemed to be the trigger for some people to take note of the inflationary effects, of course, of higher oil prices. Up $1.43 to $90.90. WTI up $1.15 or 1.3%, $87.20. The oil price was good, but the gold price not so good. We had gold just easing back from those records. It's just a smidge. $8.90, down 0.4%, $22.90. is the gold price in US dollars. Platinum eased 0.8, and silver, which had been on a massive run, and we did see some response in our silver stocks yesterday, not that we have too many, but it was hi-ho silver yesterday, but today maybe not so, down 1.3% to 27.20. As far as LME prices go, we saw copper again pushing ever higher. Dr. Copper, that PhD in economics, it's supposed to show global growth aspirations, but it does tend to highlight the supply deficit problem, as not enough investment has been made into copper. We've also had production cuts coming out of South America. Chile is the biggest supplier of copper, although I did note yesterday there was some numbers coming out for February for Chilean copper production, and they were up 7.7% after a pretty mediocre last few months. So maybe that supply is coming back on stream. Copper up 1.3%, nickel up 1.9%, Aluminium up 0.8. Zinc up 3.5%. Your sun cream just got more expensive. Lead up 2.4%. And tin up 1.7%. Iron ore doing nothing, obviously, with China closed yesterday. Lithium doing nothing either, same reason. In terms of the stocks overseas, BHP was down nearly 2%, 1.9% for BHP. Rio down 2%. We had Glencore up 1.1%. Freeport-McMoRan down 0.9%. Vale down 1.1%. Arcadium had a good day yesterday, not such a good day today, down 3.9%. Albemarle got walloped 6%. Sigma Lithium got walloped 8%. And we did see US and European oil stocks slightly better, not exactly shooting the lights out. Exxon up 0.4, Shell up 0.6%. All right, turning to events locally, one of the influential proxy advisors is urging to vote against Woodside chairman, CGI Glass Lewis, is supported by activist shareholder group pushing to reject the oil and gas producers' updated climate strategy at the company's AGM. Let's face it, if you invest in a oil and gas company, that is kind of a bit strange if you're pushing climate agendas. Anyway, on the economic front today, we do have the trade balance for February at 11:30, and we've got some Eurozone retail sales numbers for February as well this evening, and that all-important jobs report coming out of the US. In other news this morning, there's not a lot out, to be honest. GQG Partners has reported funds under management, $143.4 billion versus $137.5 billion. Quarterly net flows, $4.6 billion. That is some good news there for GQG, which we do hold in the small cap portfolio. West African Resources has reported Q1 Sanbrado gold production, 56,595 ounces, reaffirms 2024 guidance. Capricorn Metals has reported Q3 KGP gold production at 26,017 ounces. Guidance was 26,000. Beat it by a smidge there. So well done them. Other news out this morning. Macquarie has rated Computershare and outperform. It is, they say, one of the ASX's biggest long-term success stories. It values the share registry business at $29 a share. It is up 58% over the last 5 years. Higher rates certainly helping that one there. Last night we did see as well the Aussie dollar hitting briefly 66 cents US. So pretty impressive there. In other news surrounding Woodside, there is some news in the AFR today that concerns around Woodside's Sangoma project in Senegal as the new government pushes for an audit of oil, gas and mining sectors. So there we go. APM Human Services, their biggest shareholder, Madison Dearborn Partners, which has a 45% stake, has been in discussions with the company to take it private. So that'll be interesting, seeing as it's only just gone public not that long ago. BlueScope conducting due diligence, apparently, on South 32's Illawarra Met Coal operations, according to the Fin Review. Seriously considering exercising its preemptive rights for the asset. So some news there. We also have Fletcher Building Group CFO Bevan McKenzie to resign. And finally, we have JP Morgan revising its estimates for energy, utility and the telco sectors. It has upgraded Ampol to overweight from neutral. Target price there increased to $44 from $37.85. It has downgraded Beach to neutral from overweight. Target increase there to $1.95, though I guess the oil price certainly helps there. Cooper Energy downgraded from neutral, to neutral from overweight. Target increase there to 17 cents from 16 cents. Elders upgraded to outperform from neutral at Macquarie. Target increase there. Big target price increase, $10.45 for Elders. So a big increase there. Given the stock is $9.60 and their previous target price was $7.12, you could say they're a little behind the curve. Well, that's it from me today. Thanks very much for listening. Big day in store for us. 63 points down on the SPY. Big night in the US with those non-farm payrolls. 200,000 is the magic number. 3.8% headline unemployment rate. So all eyes on the US, and we'll see how it all pans out tonight. As usual, have a great day, and may the trading gods be with you.